going to be teaching on praise. So turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 29, and we're going to start sort of at the beginning of praise. Genesis chapter 29 has to do with the birth of Judah. And the word Judah, the name Judah, as you will see, is rooted in the word praise.
So
here's the scripture. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, she was hated because he loved Rachel more than her. He didn't treat her bad. He opened her womb and Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. So the first child was called Reuben. And she said, because the Lord has seen or looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me. So she names the first child based on how she was feeling at the time. And she was feeling happy because if I produce a son for my husband, he's going to be excited about this and maybe he'll love me. And then the second child came the next year, and she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard me that I was hated, he has given me a son also. And so she called his name Simeon, which means heard of God. So God hears you as well. And we like to know, we like to say that God sees everything and God hears things, especially things that are said in places where people aren't think they're being heard. God hears what's being said about you. Then another child comes the next year, it seems like, and says, now this time my husband will be attached to me. Levi means to be connected or attached. And so now she's saying, hey, after these two kids and I've got this third child, maybe we'll actually feel like that we're together. And isn't that the desire of every marriage, of every friendship? You want to be together. It's one of the hardest things to have a really, really good friend and just haven't be able to hang out with each other. We call it hanging out, right? She could say that. And now maybe my husband will want to hang out with me. Right? So of those three first children, what's that all about? Think about it. When she names those three children and God met her, God ministered to her, what was God doing for Leah? Here's what I would like to suggest. That God was ministering to her needs. He was ministering to her pain, and she was ministering to her suffering. And when we get saved, when God comes to us, could you say that God will come to us first in mercy? Because God looked at us and said, man, that Birgit, she desperately needs me. She thinks she's okay, but she ain't. I need to come to her in mercy. I know I needed mercy when I got saved. He did not look at me and say, that John's an awesome guy. I think I want him to be one of my children. No, I think God felt sorry for me. Isn't that interesting? He loves us so much that his mercy, it says, endures forever. We never run out of needing mercy, by the way. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Right? Things that we've done, things that we've maybe shouldn't have done, God needs to look at us and say, look, I'm just going to come to you and help you because you really need it. And then the second one I want to think of is grace. Because a lot of times God will give us grace where he gives us things that we don't deserve, where we are at a situation in our life and we get saved because God just wants to bless us and we really didn't do anything to deserve it. I mean, when I got saved, guys, I just went to a house meeting that someone invited me to. I didn't do anything really fantastic to be there. I didn't really like make myself really eligible to be saved. Right? I mean, it's not like a game show. If I was part of like the game show, like The Voice or something like that, I'd have to work really, really, really hard, right, to get in an audition and try to be chosen. But isn't it true, folks, that you didn't have to work real hard to be chosen to be in God's game show, right? He chose you. He chose you. He chose you. What's the fourth child's name? Let's go to the next verse there. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, this time I will praise the Lord. So instead of naming the child after how God met some need of hers, she just said, I'm just going to praise God no matter what happens. It's just not about my need right now. It is about God. I thank God he's met a lot of my needs. He's taken care of me when I needed help. He's given me grace when I needed help. But there came a time in my life where a Judah was born in my life. And I said, Now, I'm just going to praise God no matter what, no matter what I think, no matter what's going on. It's time to praise him. Come on, it's time to praise him. It's time to make it about him. It's time to make it about him. It's time to praise him. And it's not that God doesn't want to bless you. It doesn't that God doesn't want to meet your need, but he wants to bring you to the place where you're saying, you know what? This baby, this situation right here, I'm just going to praise his name. And it's not going to be about me. It's going to be about Jesus. It's going to be about his praise. It's going to be about his goodness. Not so much of this. And it kind of gets you out of yourself a little bit. How many of you need to get out of yourself a little bit? Come on, I need to get out of myself a little bit. So I know I'm not doing well when I'm thinking about me too much, when I need to think about the Lord some more. Because sometimes when you think about yourself, you don't get very happy. Come on. I start thinking about me, and next thing you know, the woe is me starts getting attached to it. And then you start thinking about what you did or what the, and that's not what it's all about. It's about praise. Now this time, I'm going to praise him. This time, it took her three tries. On the fourth try, she got it. Praise God. Aren't you glad that Leah got it? And I'm praying that we'll get it, that after a couple tries, and we thank God for the good stuff he's done, but after a couple tries, now we're going to say, this time. Everybody say, this time. This time I'm going to praise the Lord. Not next time I'll praise the Lord. Maybe next time I'll praise him. No, this time I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him not because of anything else that anybody's done to me. I'm going to praise him now. God sees our pain. He hears our pain. And he wants to be with us and accept us. And he wants to bring about an attachment to us. That's for sure. He wants to heal relationships. He wants to reconcile people. I thank God for all of those good things God is doing in my life and all that God has done in my life. But sometimes you got to get down to the place that no matter how well it's going in my life, no matter how well it's going in your life, no matter how well it's going in America, no matter how well it's going overseas, it doesn't matter how well it's going, whether God addresses it or not, I'm going to praise him anyway, because that's what it's all about. And I'm going to trust him to take care of those things, and I'm going to release it to the Lord. And I'm not going to walk about burdened and heavy. Oh, my goodness, do you know what's happened over there in that country? Do you know what's happened over across the street? And you talk to someone and all they're talking about is their burdens. Well, thank God. Isn't he big enough to take care of those burdens? Why don't you praise the Lord some? Why about this time praise the Lord? Now, what's really interesting about the word for praise that you get your word Judah from, that J sound is English, okay? It's Judah or Yehuda. That's the word for Judah, comes from the word from yada, which means to what? Extend the hands in thanks. Yada. We used to put all of our praise words up here. Yada means thank you. It means thank you. If someone gives you something, you take it, right? If someone gives some, if you, and what's so beautiful about the word for praise is that it doesn't immediately indicate your mouth. It indicates your hand. It's the hands of praise. You have in this room right here, everyone here has two instruments of praise. Right here. And it's got to start with this. Because you've got an instrument, we call it a 10 fingers, you know, five on each. But you've got these hands that can immediately get involved with worship without even opening your mouth or knowing what to say. And you can be a small child and you don't have to have the ability to speak, but you can do this with your hands, right? Every little baby, doesn't matter how old, that little baby can take those hands and wave them in the air. We can praise God with our hands. The word means yada, which means to express with your hands, extending your hands, and to give thanks with your hands. Lift it up to heavens. Let us lift up our hearts with our hands to heavens, the Bible says. So we're going up this way or going out this way to the Lord. We're using our hands. The hands are the very instruments that God gives us to put action to intention. Everybody say action.
Action.
Intention. If you have an intention without an action, what's that? But you begin to put action to your intention and God will bless it powerfully. And you can do that with your hands. How many of you heard this scripture? Every knee bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. How many of you heard that scripture? Wave your hands and thanks. Amen. I remember when I first got saved, I was not taught to raise my hands in church unless I had a question. Because that's what we did in school. We got a question. Don't open your mouth. Put your hand up, right? Well, same thing in church. When I started praising the Lord and they weren't making me play the piano at that little church, my hands just went up. No, I didn't even know this teaching then. It just did it. My hands wanted to go up. Why? Because of the Holy Ghost inside of me. It was natural. And then I began to realize this teaching when I was growing up as a Christian. I was like, wow, it's in the scripture. What I wanted to do with my hands is already there. So we need to learn not to be conformed to this world. What's being conformed to this world? Praising the Lord like this. That is being conformed to the image of this world. If you want to be conformed to the image of heaven, I got news for you. Them hands are moving up in heaven. They ain't sitting around with their hands in their pockets. They're not sitting where their hands folded like this. They're not. They are praising God with everything that's within me. Let it start with your hands. Let it start with your hands. But it doesn't stop with your hands. It goes to your mouth after that. You start getting your hands involved. Next thing you know, your mouth starts going, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You start moving a little bit, right? Because it says every knee bow and every tongue confess. Notice that it's not just that. It's your knees and your tongues. And that word for confess right there, let every knee bow and every tongue confess. That slick Holy Spirit used the same word for Judah. So our praise is what we do yada with our hands, but it's also yada with our mouth. It means to confess. Everybody say confess. Our confession is our praise. First, if we confess Jesus Christ as Lord, here's a question. Your teacher is giving you a test. If you confess Jesus Christ as Lord, are you praising God? That's the correct answer. Because our confession is our praise, first and foremost. We think somehow, and we're going to talk about what this means, but confession needs to be understood by every believer as an expression of praise. Just as our hands express thanksgiving, yada, our mouth needs to express praise as a confession. Romans 14, 8 through 11 says this, if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your neighbor, or why do you despise your brother? For we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ God, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess praise to God. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess. Now, I'm going to talk about, it's going to be interesting, because the word confession is a big word in the Christian community, especially in kind of our circles, right? Because we hear about the word confess, and usually what I hear in that discussions are how we confess the word of God. So I'm going to talk about two difficult ways to praise God. So when we hear the word confession, here's the first thing that I think most of us are pretty familiar with. It's difficult sometimes to confess the word of God when we don't feel like it, or confess the word of God when we don't see what we're confessing, or it doesn't look like what we're confessing. So, for example, if I want to confess Jesus Christ is my healer, and now I'm praying a prayer of healing, and I don't see the healing manifest, my mouth, it's hard for me to want to confess it, right? Because the Bible says in Mark, it says that if you believe, you have what you pray for, you'll have it. So when it says if you pray what you say, you pray it, you say it, and then you'll have it. You have to say what you're praying in order to have what you're praying. It's the saying that comes before the receiving. So if I want to receive healing, I want to say, Jesus Christ, heal me. And I'm healed before you see it. And then after you say it, then the healing comes. But it's hard sometimes to confess that my God will supply all my needs according to his riches when you've got 10 cents in your bank account. Right? Isn't it hard to do that? It's hard to confess healing when you're in pain. So we're going to learn to be uncomfortable sometimes we praise God when we speak by faith and not by sight. The second uncomfortable way to praise God is confessing our weakness and failure. It's so hard to confess our sin and weakness to somebody else. One of the toughest scriptures that I've always fussed at God about is pray for one another, confess your faults to one another, and pray for one another that you might be healed. Like, why do I need to tell you what my problems are? You should be obvious to you, right? No, but they're not always obvious, right? But it says confessing our weaknesses. It's hard to confess our sin and weakness. Why? Because we live in America, and our American mindset says, don't ever show weakness, because the devil will take advantage of you. Right? Don't ever show weakness, because if you do, the devil will take advantage of you. And religion without spiritual truth sometimes won't let us be honest about what we're going through. Because it doesn't sound good, right? Why are you speaking in unbelief? Why? Because it's my weakness. I'm not putting God down. See what I'm saying? When you talk about your weakness, you're not talking about God. You're talking about you, and you're being honest about yourself. So I don't want religion to make me be dishonest about who I am. I don't want and put on this religious garb that somehow I'm so righteous and I'm so holy and I'm full of faith and everything I do, miracles happen, and everything I say, glory happens. And come on. And it's really hard on preachers because the preacher has to be like awesome, right? In American, you know, in religious, I'm talking about religion now, guys. I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about religion. But church people do this. Where the preacher is like, whoa, this guy is the awesomeness of God. And he just is full of so much faith. I've got to have him pray for me. Why? Because we don't want to show weakness because of fear. We don't want to show weakness because we always want to be positive. Come on, I like being positive. I like being full of faith. I don't want to talk about where I fall short. And I don't want to lose your respect. But Lord, if they see me like that, they're not going to respect me as a pastor. They'll think I'm some nut. Which you might do already anyway. See what I'm saying? We're worried about what other people think. And it's a trap for leaders. If leaders don't get help because they're afraid of what people think, then what? Then they get stuck and they don't get help. And here's the other problem. Is that instead of confessing our faults to one another, we confess other people's faults to one another. As someone said, bada bing, bada boom. Did you hear the snare drop? Boom. All right. We focus on what is happening around us, and that is the atmosphere of the world. Can I be so bold and say that the world is all about putting down other people? That's what it's all about. We don't praise the Lord by confessing someone else's sin. Thank you for someone saying amen. Let's try that again. We don't confess or praise the Lord by confessing someone else's sin. Amen. Amen. So go to John chapter 9, and we're going to see the story of the blind man. The blind man. John chapter 9. And it's an amazing story. I'm going to start from verse 1. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So where's their focus, confessing their sin or confessing someone else's sin? Do you realize this is the condition of the church? This is what we're worried about. Who's sinning out there in that? God, give me the ability to see someone else's sin. No. You don't want to pray that prayer. That's not the culture of honor, is it, Kenny? The culture of honor is not pointing out other people's flaws. The culture of honor is pointing out your flaws. That's the culture of honor. I'm going to show you how powerful this is. Watch. So, the first question his disciples say, who sinned? And Jesus said, it is not that this man sinned. And let's not get into super uber healing, generational healing either. It's not about his parents either. This is about the glory of God. Let's get our focus on the Lord. Let's get our focus on the Lord. Let's not focus on what's wrong with everybody. Let's focus on what's right with Jesus. Let's focus on what he can do. And it doesn't matter how messed up I am. If he can take care of me, he can take care of you. Because I knew it took me a while to finally get just how messed up I was. That's part of getting saved. Part of getting saved is finally discovering just how messed up you are. Come on. The world makes fun of that, but it's true. because nobody wants to admit their weaknesses. So Jesus said, it's not this man. We want to see the glory of God. We must work the works of him while he sent me, as while it's day. All right, now, and he spits in the ground and he puts mud on the eyes. How many have heard the expression throwing mud at somebody? So he takes mud and he puts it on the man, the very metaphor that we use to put someone else down, Jesus puts on the eyes of the man and heals him. I'll show you what it means to throw mud on somebody. I'm going to do it and heal them and not put anybody down. I'm not going to talk about his sin. I'm not going to talk about his mom and dad's sin. I'm not going to talk about his grandpa's sin. I'm going to talk about what God can do with some mud and spit. And spit is not very cool either. Let's go to verse 24. All right. This is an amazing thing. For the second time, these Pharisees called the man who had been blind and said to him, give, look here. They literally quote the scripture here from Joshua. I'm going to show you. They said, give praise to God. The same word, yada, give glory to God, give yada to God, give confession to God, confess God, praise God, tell us, we know that this man is a sinner. So our confession should never be about someone else being a sinner. And so you know what he says? Whether this is our confession as a Christian, whether he is a sinner or I do not know, but one thing I know, Jesus, I was blind, but now I see. Amen. This one thing I know, I was blind, I was a sinner. It's not about whether... It's not about whether our give praise to God and speak evil of someone else. That's what they were asking him to do. Don't do that. You're not praising God when you criticize somebody else. You're praising God when you say, I was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me.